Yo, what's going on, great friends? Hey, it is Monday. We're just getting ready to rock and roll. Coming off what was an amazing weekend, both for the fun of the show, but also in the world of sports. And we got a lot to get to. So let's just jump right into it. Before I do, I will say that I got to give a lot of love to our partners out there. I'll start off with our people at 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. You want a place to watch games, eat amazing food with Sammy's Restaurant and Bar, play blackjack, poker, and other table games, smoke-free, convenient location, 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego. It's 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com, and you can click this QR code to have more information. Okay, hey, let me keep rolling because I'm actually going to go fast today. Hey, our people at Blenders, yesterday, Sunday, I was at the Encinitas Street Fair, and I said to, well, two of my friends went in and bought some blenders, and one of my friends actually went in. And this is an amazing thing. I didn't know this about blenders. If you have a problem with your blenders and you take them in, my understanding is they'll replace them. And when I say a problem, I mean a scratch, a broke, something breaks. Like my friend walked in there yesterday and he was like, hey, can I replace these? And they gave him a brand new pair. So listen, use our code Kaplan. You'll save 20% if you're buying online at blenderseyewear.com or you're buying in store. I know the PB store and the Encinitas store. Those are the two stores. I know there's others actually. But check out Blenders. They're the best eyewear, best price, amazing lenses, polarized, great fashion. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to want to buy 5-6 pairs because it's the cost of one pair of like expensive ass Ray-Bans. It's glasses. This is my favorite pair right now. I love these. I love the shape. I love the color. I love the whole frame. Awesome. Blenders eyewear. Okay, let me keep on going. Hey, a big shout out to my guy, Brett Weiss, Mushroom Life and Life Brew Coffee. Brett asked me the other day how many people click on our QR code. And I said, you know, I don't know. I have to ask Browner. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go another level here. I'm going to take it up a notch. Brett wants to now give 30% off on Life Brew. In fact, I'm just going to make sure I just check in with what he said. But he wants to now give you 30% off. So, you know, listen, he asked me about the QR code. And it's something I need to actually do better at is understanding how many people are using our QR code. 30% off the mushroom coffee. You have to buy at least one. That's one per customer. So he's giving, anytime you buy his brand new Life Brew coffee, he's giving you 30% off. Make sure you check him out. Life Brew, L-Y-F-E, lifebrew.com. Okay, I'm going to keep on rolling here. A big shout out to our people at Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299. My guy, Gary Cooper. You never make a move in real estate without talking to Gary. You want to buy, you want to sell, you are thinking about refinancing for some reason right now. There may be an emergency or you got yourself into a little bit of credit card debt, but you've got all this equity in your house. Talk to Gary, 858-376-1299. Haven't mentioned our people at Prize Picks. You know, I got to say it's the basketball playoffs and I'm getting destroyed. LeBron James, bang, check. Anthony Davis, bang, check. I had the other night in this Lakers Nuggets series, I had, what's the guy's name? Oh, geez. I'll find it here in one second. I had this kid, Aaron Gordon. He had like 30 points in game three. I had him for 14 and a half points in game four. Dude scored 7 points, killed me. I have just been getting wrecked and my account has gone from $320 to $160 like that. So I need plays, man. I need to keep on playing the game. Tonight, Lakers Nuggets, game five, I got to play again. And I'm going to stay with the stars. LeBron, AD, Joker. Those are the guys I'm playing. Download the Prize Picks app. Use our code GREATFRIENDS. They match your first deposit 100% up to $100. I put in $100. I've never put in any more money. I'm still playing off that first $100. Download the Prize Picks app and do it right now. And then lastly, how could I forget our friends at Torrey Holistics and California Holistics and Oxnard Holistics? If you are buying cannabis for sleep, for pain, for anxiety, for recreation, lots of places to buy cannabis products, but we've got the two best spots in San Diego, which is California Holistics and Torrey Holistics. And now we got this new spot up in Oxnard and it's going to be a superstar store. It just needs some love, you know, and it needs you people who are up in the Oxnard area to go visit. So go buy and use our code Kaplan Crew to save 20%. All right, Monday, let's roll. Hey, great friends. What is going on? It is Monday afternoon. Kaplan and crew with Grande and the Brown Man back on the airwaves of 1090, back onto the stream of YouTube, all the audio podcast platforms, and tonight plastered all over television. And let me just say this to get started here on a Monday. What an amazing weekend to talk about, because from the NFL draft, and look, I got it, guys. I do. I know we were off the air on Friday, and I know a lot of you guys wanted to hear instant reaction to what had happened on Thursday in the first round of the NFL draft. Some things happened. We had to take the day off on Friday. It's all good. We're back. So NFL draft and analysis of the draft. Can't wait to hear what Browner thinks about his Bears, what Alex thinks about his Vikings. I'm going to give you a lot of opinion about what the Rams did. I thought they had an amazing draft. I know a lot of you guys want to hear about what the Chargers did. Some of you want to hear about what the Raiders did. We'll talk a bunch of NFL draft today, okay? And probably for the next couple of days as the draft sort of digests. Also, this weekend, went to my first Padre game of the season yesterday. Beautiful, sunny Sunday afternoon. Ballpark completely packed. Yeah, there's some Philly fans in the house, and they had a lot to cheer about. And while the Padres put up some highlights, they got swept in this series. I'm telling you, man, that series in Colorado where they split 2-2, that was a bad deal for the Padres. That's the kind of series you got to win, especially when you come back to take on good teams like Philadelphia. And yesterday was a home run derby, but man, it was an ugly result. And to be swept at home by the Phillies, not good at all. Doesn't bode well for what we think the Padres should be. And by the way, reminds me of last week when Browner gave us this whole thing. Is it time to give AJ Preller his flowers? Look at Jackson Merrill and look at Dylan Cease. And it's like, hey, it might be a little early to be giving away flowers. And then they just got swept and they've had this losing streak. So we'll get to the Padres and we'll talk some baseball, because while the Padres were getting swept and losing four in a row, the Dodgers have won like six in a row prior to their loss yesterday against Toronto. So we'll talk baseball. Basketball. The Lakers have survived the weekend. They will move on to game five tonight in Denver. The question I would have is Jamal Murray going to play in this game? If Jamal Murray does not play, he's questionable with a calf injury. I suspect he tries to go. How impactful he can be is another question. If Jamal Murray, who hasn't really been that right in this series, if he can't play or is not good, could the Lakers possibly steal a win in Denver and bring the series home? We'll get to the NBA. And by the way, I watched that game last night between Phoenix and Minnesota, and Anthony Edwards is just out of control. I cannot believe this guy is 22 years old. So draft, baseball, basketball, and a whole bunch of other stuff. We'll jump into all of it today. As I say good afternoon to Grande and the Brown Man, we are in the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. Grande, I just unloaded a lot on you.
Yeah.
What's first on your mind, my brother?
None of those things.
Good. Good. Good.
And listen, Browner's about to roll his eyes, but I really don't care. Listen, San Diego is a soccer town, and the news that is being reported right now has got me so stoked, so excited. I can't tell you how excited this would make me once this officially happens.
Tell me.
The Athletic is reporting that San Diego FC, the upcoming MLS team that starts next year.
Starts in when?
2025.
Like, okay, cool.
Next season.
Okay.
They're in advanced talks to sign Mexico's biggest star.
Okay, I don't know who that is yet, but is it Chicharito?
No.
Okay.
He's not. He was at some point, but he's older now. He's like 36 now.
Is it Landon Donovan?
Well, he's American.
Uh-huh. Oh, but remember he played in Mexico, remember?
Yeah, but he's American.
I got it. All right.
And he's also 40-some years old now.
All right.
Wouldn't really get me that excited.
All right.
This guy scored maybe Mexico's most famous goal in the last 10 years against Germany when we beat them in the World Cup, which was like our World Cup victory. Like, it's basically like we won the tournament when we beat Germany that year.
It's kind of like when the Padres beat the Dodgers and that was the World Series.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Same thing. Felt good. Real good. Got so drunk that day. Chucky Lozano.
You hear that, Browner?
Chucky Lozano.
SDFC going to sign Chucky Lozano?
Telling me in this city, who already has the biggest female star mm-hmm. in the world, in Alex right. Morgan.
Right.
You're going to tell me that now we're going to have Mexico's biggest, brightest, and young. He's 28. He ain't old. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Chucky Lozano up in here?
Hell yeah.
Damn, dog.
Damn.
Damn.
Damn, right. dog. Is
Give
right.
me that jersey. Don't make. That's right. Don't be in advance talks. Sign him, yeah. and I will buy that jersey the next day.
What do you
By
think?
By the way, the jerseys yeah. aren't even out yet, and I'll
what
buy
kind of,
it.
What kind of money do they? What kind of money does a guy like that get? If you're going to take a guy, what league does he currently play in?
The is Dutch he, league.
Oh, he, oh, he's so he's not he's Mexican, but he's not playing in Mexico.
Right.
Okay. So I wonder, like, you know, because Messi's making a fortune, right? But like,
right.
I don't know who else is like a big money star in MLS. I wonder what kind of money it takes. But listen, if you're the new San Diego MLS team and you can get a superstar Mexican player, right? I know, John, look at that, Brown. My mm-hmm. For those of you that are listening on radio, on YouTube, sometimes when you thumbs up, it like the software gives you a thumbs up. Mine's working all of a sudden from out of nowhere. That would be a monster signing. And I don't even know who Chucky Lozano is, but I know that that would be a monster signing.
Monster.
Listen, yeah. man, I don't need.
Yeah, because
need
the rumors respect. Were that they were going to sign their goalkeeper, Memo Ochoa. You know, he's also very popular, but he's a goalkeeper. You know, you right. can't really get too excited about a goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a guy that scores goals. Not that many, but he scores goals, you know? So
if you can stop somebody from scoring goals, that'll make you popular.
Yeah, which is why he's popular. Like, Memo Ochoa has had some incredible – like, he's okay when it comes to the club, but for some reason, when Memo Ochoa throws on that Mexico jersey, the dude becomes, like, inhuman. He was a superhero. So okay. he's built a legacy off making incredible stops. But
all right, I've given you that this weekend was NFL draft, yeah. Major League Baseball.
By the NBA way, the basketball. NFL draft was on Thursday.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I watched a lot of it.
NFL draft was on Thursday.
I watched a lot. Oh, no, I disagree. Because when you look at the later rounds, that's when you really score. So I gave you all of the mainstream stuff. You hit us with your first thought, which was mm-hmm. San Diego's new MLS club and signing the biggest Mexican star. Browner, first thought on your mind today. I've given you football, baseball, basketball. We've got soccer. First thought on your mind. So we don't go into a whole thing about you don't like soccer and then we spend 20 minutes on. What's the first thought?
Listen, only respect one Lozano, and that's Jeff. Now, after that.
They're brothers.
Yeah.
They better be.
Shout out to Jeff Lozano, and cheers to our friends at Ballast Point.
I got a lot to talk about today.
Okay.
But I'm going to start with this thing, because I think this will only be me. The rest of it, I think we all share interest in making comments about it. But the thing I want to start with is Lamont Butler.
Oh, good. Glad you are.
Young fella, sometimes in life, we get bad business advice. I know that rhymes, but it makes sense. You went to Kentucky once John Calipari exited. So for your father to say, and I quote, they asked him what they were looking for, what appealed to Kentucky for his son. And he said, starting point guard on a bigger stage. I got some bad news for you, Pops. The lights about to go off in Kentucky. If anything, the lights are brighter on the Mesa. Now, if you told me he was going to Kansas, okay, you got me. You told me he was going to Duke, I like that. I like that. I like that a lot, actually. If you'd have told me he was going to Arizona, I could understand that. I could. But you chose Kentucky post John Calipari, and it's year one post John Calipari. Like, what did BYU do that set the world on fire that now you're going to go to Kentucky under their new coach who came from BYU and do anything of significance? Oh, I just slobber. So
don't worry about slobbering. You can slobber all you like, big
fella. All I say when I saw this report, and then I started reading the information about why they chose Kentucky. That's bad business advice. Unfortunately, they say they sacrificed last year. They made $200,000. I don't know how much money they're going to make, but I hope they make as much money as they possibly can because it's a business at this point. And I hope the Butler family is well compensated for what they feel like his son's talents represent. But if you went there for a bigger stage and a starting point guard role, you went to the wrong place. Mm. And sometimes listening to people can often get you in a bad position, because San Diego State will be better than Kentucky next year, because they have been better than Kentucky for, I think, for like the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. So I'll say this. You know, I love that you started there, Brown. I do. I love that you started there because I wanted to get to Lamont Butler today. So let me jump in with a comment here and a thought. So in this opening segment today, two things have come back to kind of bite us, I think. The first one was last week when you, Browner, started talking to me and Alex about giving A.J. Preller his flowers, and the Padres got swept at home by Philadelphia.
They didn't come back to bite nobody. They didn't come back to bite. I'm going to get to that, too. Yeah. But I just wanted to start with that.
They're 1-5 since that give him his flowers. That's right. And I think Alex said it best last week. Why are we giving away flowers in April? Like, can we wait until July or August? Like, we'll give flowers when flowers are due. Okay? So that's number one. Number two, Lamont Butler. And I will say, I said this last week, and I'm going to say I think I may have been wrong. Last week, I was saying to Lamont Butler Sr. on the air, you're making a mistake by taking your kid out of San Diego State. I still believe the mistake is that if Lamont Butler finishes his career at San Diego State, he will have set himself up, in my opinion, for life, because he will have been committed to this program, committed to this city, the biggest shot in the history of the school, okay, and in the program's history. And you know what? I think with Coach Dutcher and Coach Fisher, I think what you learn is that San Diego State has relied on Coach Fisher and his, therefore, his coaching family, and I don't think they're going anywhere. And I think that Lamont Butler could have been a sports celebrity in San Diego. Junior Seau had Seau's the restaurant. Jimmy Johnson has Jimmy Johnson Chevrolet. What I'm saying to you is that Lamont Butler could have stayed in San Diego, finished his career. If he's going to get a chance to play in the NBA, good for him. If not, the number of San Diego State alums, they would have embraced him and said, hey, let's use your name to create Lamont Butler BMW. And I know that sounds a little maybe premature, but I'm just
Lamont
saying
Butler smoothie.
I'm just saying there's opportunities to use your name. Will those opportunities go on because he leaves? Will he still have those opportunities because he leaves and goes to play? Maybe he will, but I don't think he will, in that he's no longer that local legend who started and finished. He's a guy who, excuse me, Lamont Butler Sr., sold out to go take the money at Kentucky. But here's where I was wrong. When I said last week it would be a huge mistake, unless the money is so much greater, I got to think that if you made $200,000 at San Diego State, transferring to a school of the name brand of Kentucky, who, by the way, remember, this is a school that John Calipari every year got the top high school recruits in the country. The problem is that when you're 18 years old or 19 years old and you get to the NCAA tournament and you're playing against guys that are 21, 22, in the case of Jaden Ledee, who's 24 years old, right? The COVID years made it so that little freshman boys don't compete against grown-ass men. But you see, if you're Kentucky and you lose John Calipari, you kick him out, and you decide, you know what, for us to win, we got to have veteran guys. We got to have older players. We have to have experienced players. Here's the one thing Lamont Butler brings to the table for Kentucky that maybe I underestimated. He's a guy who's played in a national championship game. He's a guy who's hit one of the biggest clutch shots of all time for his school. He came back the next year and went to a Sweet 16. And if you're going to have a guy who's going to be a leader of your team at a place like Kentucky with a new coach and really a new philosophy, and by the way, you got a crap ton of money to throw at a kid, I will tell you right now, I stand corrected. I thought it was a big mistake. I could have made the case all day long for staying at San Diego State, but I can't really argue going to Kentucky. I really can't. What do you think, Alex? You're the big Aztec fan here.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, great, good job. Awesome. Like, if I saw Micah Parrish go to Ohio State, I knew Lamont was going to go somewhere big too. That's just the way, like, Lamont Butler is so much of a more important piece of a team because of his defense and the position that he plays. I agree. He's not reliant on being a streaky hot or cold shooter like Micah was. You know, Lamont brings a lot to a table and to the team. Like, I know Browner said, like, hey, Calipari's gone. It's like, yeah, that's the only reason Lamont Butler even went there. Like John Calipari doesn't look at transfers, especially fifth-year seniors. Like, so that's exactly why Lamont Butler even got to go to Kentucky. Now, I don't know what they're going to be. And quite frankly, I really don't care what Kentucky's going to be. But I told you guys this last year or last week. Lamont, go get paid. Go do your thing. I don't care if it's short-sighted, long-sighted, if you're going to be whatever you're going to be. Who knows? Who knows what Lamont Butler is going to turn into?
Yeah.
The guy can go be the next Jamal Franklin in China. How the hell do we know? Who knows if he's going to care what he is in San Diego if he becomes a multimillionaire in China one day?
That's right.
So, like, for him to have the stage, and I disagree with Browner, Kentucky basketball will always be bigger than San Diego State basketball. I mean, that's just what it is, man. Like, so to go to that stage and have it for a year, I think, great.
Coming out of high school, he could never have gotten a chance to play Kentucky.
The dude was like 140 pounds.
He could never have had a chance to play Kentucky coming out of high school. And now you're 4 years into your career. You've been to a national championship game. You've been to a Sweet 16. You've made money. Now you can make a lot more money and you can play for an all-time blue blood program. That, to your point, you know, it's interesting. San Diego State used to be the place that takes in transfers. Yeah. Now San Diego State's a place that gets picked off.
So the one thing what Alex said that I will push back against, and I will push back against it fairly hard. Kentucky is a bigger brand per se, but the national attention is pretty much equal to what Kentucky gets and San Diego State gets at this point in San Diego State's trajectory and at this point in Kentucky's trajectory. Kentucky got fat off John Calipari. Because before John Calipari, it was a no man's land, and it was Tubby Smith. And in between Tubby Smith and John Calipari, Kentucky was a dead space. So the idea that the university is more popular than any coach is just false. It's just false. So I hope for Lamont Butler's sake that this head coach is really good, and he's going to hit the ground running, because if he doesn't, what happens?
You know what they got to do, Brown? They got to build a team. Because honestly, all those kids that Calipari recruited, they're all history. Yeah.
So by the way, what I mean by Kentucky being a bigger stage, they're like the Knicks. Like, the Knicks haven't been good my whole life, but they're still the Knicks. And you still want to go play at the Garden. You still want to go be a Knick, right? Like, everybody's always talking about. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The success on the court, I don't care, and I don't know. I don't know what Mark Pope's going to bring from BYU. I know he was part of a national championship team. He showed up, you know, in his introductory press conference. There's 18,000 people for his freaking unveiling, and he brought out the old national championship trophy. Like, so all I'm saying is the stage, like, the name Kentucky will always be Kentucky, the way that the Cowboys are the Cowboys.
Same with UCLA, same with Kansas, same with Duke, same with North Carolina. Right. But, you know, last thought from me on this is that, you know what the sad part of it is? I say sad. The sad part for me is this. Just the same way San Diego State football in particular is a stepping stone job when it comes to coaches, right? Can we all agree on that?
Absolutely, yes.
Sadly, in the new world of NIL and transfer portal, San Diego State basketball is now a stepping stone basketball program. In other words, if you're a really good player, you will have opportunity to make more money at a bigger name brand because of your success at San Diego State. The same way that Brady Hoke got a chance to go from San Diego State to Michigan to be head coach is the same way Lamont Butler is getting a chance to go from San Diego State and all of his success to Kentucky, to a bigger brand, to make more money. And this is why the Mesa Foundation is so important, because they're trying desperately to keep these kids. But the fact is, the money at Kentucky for basketball is different than the money at San Diego State for basketball.
As much as I hope that Lamont Butler has the most success he possibly can, this is what's wrong with the NIL.
I agree.
It's gonna break college basketball.
But people, you know what? Every time I say that there's something wrong with the NIL, you know what I hear? You're old, and you don't like the fact that the rules have changed, and these kids haven't gotten paid, and they should be getting paid. Okay,
they should be getting paid. Yeah,
great. Great. But the transfer portal and allowing everybody to transfer all the time whenever they want. I mean, listen, I guess I'm old.
This whole thing, this whole circle of college basketball and NIL. Mm-hmm. So Lamont Butler goes to Kentucky. Lamont Butler, famous for the shot over my head, right? Mm-hmm. The guy he hit it over, Nick Boyd on FAU.
Yeah, tell me
he's coming to San Diego State.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
He's coming to San Diego State?
From San Diego State. or he's transferring from FAU to San Diego State. Amazing. He'll be your starting point guard next year. Nick Boyd.
Incredible. Incredible. All right, listen, let me do this. I started off with the setup. Draft, baseball, NBA. Alex gave us Major League Soccer and this big, you know, potential signing of the new MLS club in San Diego. Browner hit us with this Lamont Butler story, which is awesome. This is the way to start on a Monday because our brains are all moving in a million different directions because there was so much over the weekend. Let me say, let's start with the draft coming back. We'll get to the Padres. We'll get to some NBA and some other stuff. We got a lot to get to. I want to just say this. We are in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. 7 Mile Casino is the best casino in San Diego to play blackjack, poker, and other table games. Have the best brunch on the weekends. That's not my opinion. That's San Diego Magazine readers. That's their opinion. Amazing, easy parking, freeway access, no smoking. You're going to love it. 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. Any problems with gambling, you call 1-800-GAMBLER. We're just getting going on Kaplan and Crew. Hey, great friends. It is Monday afternoon. This is Kaplan and Crew. I got Grande and the Brown Man, and the three of us come to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. I will just say this. We're going to get into the NFL draft because I know a lot of you guys on Friday hit me up with, guys, how can you not be on the air on Friday? We want to hear your remarks and your comments about the first round of the draft. And I said, hey, we'll get it done on Monday. So here we go. Before we do, I just want to say to everybody, I hope you all had a great weekend. I know I sure did. On Saturday night, when me and Browner, when we all met everybody at the Kraken on Saturday night and 91 Octane tore that place to shreds, what an awesome night. Browner, did you have a good time on Saturday night?
Good. I had a good time. A lot of laughter, a lot of breaking news. Well, one really big breaking news event that happened. I had to text Alex after I found out this news. He couldn't believe it either.
What? Do I not know the news?
Yeah, you know the news, man.
What was the news?
The fountain of youth that is Tommy Tommy.
Oh, my God. That blew my mind. I had no idea. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, there were so many great people there.
I don't believe that.
Driver's license, unless it's false.
Yeah, yeah, there were so many great people on Saturday night that came out to party and visit with Browner and give him the love. And I was blown away because, listen, it's one thing to know people that were already going to be there. Molly, David P., Tommy, David 100 and his wife, Tina. I hope I'm not missing anybody off the top of my head. Mark Kapov, Cap 2. He's awesome. I love that guy. Listen, it was so much fun. But there were people, Alex.
Who's the guy that was going to make out with Browner?
Oh, that's his boy, Mike. That's Big Mike.
Oh, okay.
Wait, what are we make out
Big with? Mike.
What are
you talking about? Well, there's this one picture where the two of you were like hugging it out.
It looked like you were about to like go for a little smoochy smooch.
Yeah, it was. I know. And we know how homophobic you are. So, you know, I don't. But look at but Big Mike is like Andre the Giant, dude. He's like 6'10". OK, he is a monster of a dude.
My bro, man. That's
OK, he's a great guy. Gotcha. So but Alex, you always say that, you know, you like to you know who the great friends are, but you like to meet new people.
Yeah.
So later in the night, I'm going to talk about this night later, but I'll make this comment later in the evening. By this time, I'm faded. Okay. I mean, I'd been drinking pretty good. Okay. And I'm not like, you don't have to carry me out drunk, but I'm like, I'm kind of wasted. And I'm standing at the bar next to this guy. And all of a sudden this guy realizes that I'm me. Browner's Browner, Tommy's who he is, Fat Tony's over here. Right. And this guy is loving the fact because he saw that we were going to be at the Kraken. All on Channel 4. Everything was TV based. It wasn't radio. Yeah. It wasn't podcast. It wasn't YouTube. It was all because he saw it on TV. And he lives up in La Costa and he's been listening for 20 years. And it's the first time he's ever had a chance to come to anything and meet with us. And it was awesome, man. So great night, Saturday night. And then Sunday, I'll just say this, went to the Padres on Sunday. First game I've been to this year in this new, I think it's called the Agave Suite. Alex, you were there. Is that what it's called? The Agave Suite?
Oh, I don't remember what it was called, but
something agave.
To be the old Cutwater bar. And now it's something else.
Yeah. Right. And when I went in there, I was like, oh man, I've played golf in here a few times because that's where we've teed off. And so it's right next to the Western Meadows building. And it was really, really nice. And the seats were great. And the sun was beautiful. And the crowd was amazing. The Padres just sucked. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And then yesterday evening, I went to see a band that I really like called Daring Greatly up at the Encinitas Street Fair, which was awesome, which got me a chance to get into to Blenders, to check out some new Blenders, which I guess I'll give them a shout out right here, blenderseyewear.com. If you use our promo code Kaplan, you save 20%.
I got new Blenders.
Let me see what you got.
Oh.
Let me see what you got.
They're like they're called the North Parks, I believe.
Oh, really?
There's the ones that I wear. They're the blue lights, but they're sunglass version. Yeah.
Oh, those are nice.
Like gold on the side.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Those boys. Are sweet. Yeah. Yeah. Those are nice. And you use our promo code, I hope. Oh, and that, look at Brown. Brown got on those cool ones too. What, I don't know what those are called. Those are pretty.
I call them the Netflix.
The Netflix, you do, huh? That's what you call them. We got to get Chase. We got to get Chase Fisher on the show this week because isn't this week the week of the Miami Grand Prix?
Yes.
And at the Encinitas store, they've got all that Miami mood stuff that's happening mm-hmm. on the side of the store. So we got to get Chase on this week.
Chase is going.
Also,
I don't know.
Also, shout out to my dog Craig Dado. Showed up with his lovely lady as well. So shout out to those two. I had a good conversation with them, and it was good to see him.
Craig and his girlfriend, the girl he's dating right now, her name's Christina. He's probably going to kill me for talking about this on the radio, but oh well, man.
Shout out, dude.
You're out with her, you know, and you know.
No, I think he's more out with you.
Well, I mean, we were taking pictures. I mean, it's not like he went to me, hey, man, don't be showing these pictures. I don't know what the deal is. No, these seem like they're in a nice thing. They got a nice thing cooking, you know?
She's nice.
She's very sweet. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very good looking, too. So between Saturday night and the amazing party that we had at the Kraken, Sunday at the Padres game, Sunday afternoon at the Encinitas Street Fair, I hope everybody had a great weekend. Alex, I saw you on social media this weekend. You and your buddies seem to be celebrating, I think, somebody's 40th birthday up in the Nard. Is that right?
Yeah, all four of my boys back at home, they all turned 40 this year. And like the last guy to turn 40 had a really big party. So it was kind of like a little culmination for everybody. Big party up in Oxnard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Taco Man.
Really?
Bartenders. It was nice.
And how old are you, dude?
37.
Okay, so these are all your boys. They're just a couple years older, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Right on. You got a picture from that weekend? Because I saw some pictures on social media that were hilarious. And you said last week that you were worried about the pants being too tight. And you said
shorts. Shorts. Yeah, the shorts. They weren't too tight. The quality was terrible.
Oh.
So I went with the jeans look instead.
Oh, you
what was the weather like up there? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Dude, how about my man in the middle? I don't know who that is.
He's the birthday boy. He was the birthday boy.
Dude, I love what he's rocking. I don't know what in the hell that is. But that is hilarious.
Hey, man, you look like you Mexican Paul Wall, dog.
Dog.
You got the chain on. It had to work. You fitted that thing out.
Yeah.
Boy, you look sharp. Man. You look good,
like,
man.
A mariachi band that does rap.
Mariachi. That's exactly like the new style of music, by the way, which is
that's
like
what it looks like.
Amazing. Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
Well, and you were rocking those new Blenders.
Rapiachi.
Rocking them new Blenders. Don't forget Blenders Eyewear, blenderseyewear.com. You save 20% when you use our code Kaplan. Okay, let me go back to Friday. We were not on the air on Friday. I acknowledge that, okay? Thursday was the first round of the NFL draft. So, listen, I don't think there were any major surprises to the first round of the NFL draft, right? Caleb Williams went one overall. We got it.
Major surprises.
Until we got a little bit later on, because you said last week that the number three pick is where the draft actually started. Well, everything kind of went to script, so to speak. So you had Caleb go number one.
Atlanta showed up.
Right. You had Jaden Daniels go number two. Mm-hmm. Drake May went number three. Marvin Harrison, four. The Chargers took Joe Alt, the offensive lineman from Notre Dame. The Giants, now there were a lot of people who thought the Giants might go quarterback. I know we had this conversation. I said I didn't think they would because the same guys who were selling the ownership on Daniel Jones would have to go back and sell them the ownership on new quarterback. So they took Malik Nabers, who many people thought, by the way, was the better of the two top receivers, regardless. He did not look happy.
He did not look happy to go to Daniel Jones. Yeah.
No, sorry.
Well, you know what? Hey, relax, kid. You know what? You got another year, and then you'll get another quarterback. J.C. Latham, the offensive tackle from Alabama, went to Tennessee. And here's where the draft became really, really interesting. I can't wait to hear what you guys think about this. So Michael Penix goes number eight to Atlanta. Okay. And Atlanta, we all know the story. They'd gone out and gotten Kirk Cousins to a four-year, $180 million contract. Mm-hmm. And when Atlanta gets on the clock. Atlanta's management is calling Kirk Cousins and they're going, Kirk, listen, I know we didn't discuss this with you over the last month and a half, but in the next 10 minutes, we want to let you know we're about to draft your replacement. And here's what I feel about it. 2 years from now, this may be a brilliant draft choice. Maybe. Okay. By the way, 6 weeks into the regular season, this might turn into a brilliant draft choice because you went out and spent $180 million on a 35-year-old guy who's coming off a torn Achilles. I don't know about you guys. I don't have tremendous confidence that Aaron Rodgers is going to go back to being Aaron Rodgers when he's a 40-year-old guy coming off a torn Achilles. I'm not certain that Kirk Cousins is going to be what he was coming off of a torn Achilles. So is it possible that Michael Penix finds himself playing his rookie season? Maybe. Is it possible that Michael Penix finds himself doing what Jordan Love did for 2 years in Green Bay, sitting, waiting, watching, learning, and then all of a sudden you become a full-time starter and you lead your team to the playoffs? Maybe. Will Michael Penix do what Phillip Rivers did, sat around for a couple of years, waited, then became a star? Will he do what Patrick Mahomes did, wait until your time, and then go on to become a star? This could be a great, great, great draft choice. Could be. But man, oh man, I'll tell you this right now, and this is I'll hand it off to you guys. If I were Kirk Cousins and I left my team to get recruited by you guys as a free agent to take a 4-year deal at $180 million, and we think that we're a quarterback away from being really, really good. We got running back, we got tight end, we got receiver, we got a lot of playmakers on this team. And you guys went and got a first-round quarterback. How's that help me win now? And that was Aaron Rodgers' point all the time. So listen, final thought, could be an amazing draft choice. 2 years from now, might be awesome. 6 weeks into the season, it might turn out to be awesome because Cousins could get hurt. But man, if I were Cousins, I would not be happy. What'd you guys think about the draft choice, Michael Penix? Because that's really where the draft became interesting.
It's one of the things where you look at it as a whole and none of it makes sense. Like you're putting your square pieces into a circle puzzle. It just doesn't make any sort of sense. And this just adds another example to, you know, just because you have a lot of money doesn't make you a good owner. And Arthur Blank showed that a lot this offseason. He had the ability to hire Bill Belichick in a win now mode. And he goes back to Raheem Morris and which is whatever, you know, we'll see how it works, but you have the ability that he's in your room. And you call Robert Kraft, this is by all reports, and Robert Kraft tells you, don't trust Bill Belichick. And you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to trust Bill Belichick then. It's like, I don't know. It just makes no sense because, for one...
But there's no collusion in a sport to continue.
Right. And then that's the other thing, too. You couldn't have waited 2 days to announce Kirk Cousins. You had to announce it 5 minutes after the deadline opened. Oh, yeah, I'm sure you negotiated a $180 million deal in 5 minutes. So, and then you gave Kirk Cousins $180 million. Like, so... That move doesn't make sense to me. The amount of money you got for him, that's crazy. To use an eighth pick on a guy that had a second round evaluation on him and you use the eighth pick, none of this makes sense. None of it all. What the Falcons have done this offseason, nothing to me makes sense. And they'll be a decent team because Kirk Cousins is a decent quarterback. And if he's not, listen, in Minnesota, he never had a backup where he was terrible. We weren't clamoring for Sean Mannion. You know what I'm saying? Like, we weren't clamoring for Nick Mullins to come in and take over. But when you got an eighth pick right behind you, yeah, you better be good, Kirk. Because that fan base would be like, let's get Penix in there.
And it's only a 2-year deal. I mean, it's a 4-year, $180 million deal. But in reality, it's a 2-year deal. That's where the money's front loaded. I don't know why I just gave a 2 and all of a sudden balloons started flying. But I love the fact that it finally works. I think I think it's my new computer that is actually working well.
Let me be very specific and direct about what I think Atlanta did in the draft. I loved it. I 100% loved it. I thought it was the best thing they possibly could have done. If you feel like Michael Penix is a franchise quarterback, you take him. You take him. Because with Kirk Cousins, you won't be picking this soon. Again, for a very, very long time, hopefully. If you manage this correctly, you pick Kirk Cousins, he takes you to the playoff for a couple of years, and when physically and at money, that guaranteed money is gone, then Michael Penix comes in and does it for another 3 years under cap control. When you have to re-sign all these other hotshot young guys you got at the skill positions. I thought what Atlanta did was really, really smart. They took a page out of the Green Bay Packers playbook. They drafted a quarterback when they already had a quarterback. It's worked out for Green Bay. Unfortunately, I know, and Alex knows this all too well, for almost two decades now. It works if you nail the pick. And I think with Michael Penix Jr., they have nailed this pick. I like him a lot. And after that, they got all defense in the next three rounds. So the idea that this was just some, I don't understand it. Go get your guy. If they did all this research and they did all this work for the pre-draft process and everybody came back as a consensus, Michael Penix Jr. is the best player we can get at the position we're going to be picking, take him. Because these defensive and these pass rushers, they didn't light the world on fire. There wasn't nothing cool about them. They were so good, they waited until 15 till the first one was picked. So if you're, in my opinion, I thought what they did was smart, and I thought it went along with the plan that they obviously have for the quarterback position. And I liked it.
You know, listen, you may be right. I think that we're coming at this from three different angles. Yeah. You know, I think my thought is that I don't trust that Kirk Cousins at 35 years old coming off a torn Achilles, I don't know for sure that he's going to be healthy. And even if it's not the Achilles, even if it's just 35 years old, you get hit, you get knocked out. What do they do at the backup quarterback position? What was that kid's name they had from Cincinnati that played for them the last couple of years? What was that kid's name? Of Cincinnati. What's his name?
Taylor Heinicke?
No.
Oh, no, he came up for Atlanta.
For Atlanta.
Desmond Ritter.
Right. I mean, these
They were both there.
I understand. My point is, though, is that Heinicke, Ritter, these guys are not frontline starting quarterbacks.
No.
Kirk Cousins is, and Michael Penix is expected to be. Okay? Correct. So it may turn out to be a brilliant move this year. It may turn out to be a brilliant move 2 years from now. Or guess what? It might turn out to be a really bad idea. Because just remember this.
True.
Remember at the beginning of the year when people were criticizing Jordan Love? But Jordan Love got better as the year went on and then ultimately won a playoff game on the road in Dallas.
Yep. You know? No one's talking about in Atlanta. They were
undefeated at home this year, the Cowboys, until that game.
That's never hard.
The playoffs, though.
Especially in the playoffs. You need representation at that position if you can get it, and they got it, so they're good. Shout out to Atlanta.
After that,
this doesn't make any sense. It's just that's all.
Like, it doesn't if you're Kirk Cousins and you're thinking, hey, win now.
Correct. It only doesn't make sense to one person, Kirk Cousins.
I guess it doesn't matter now because he's there. He signed. He's delivered. But
he's gonna get the money.
But I guarantee you, Kirk Cousins would not have gone to Atlanta if they did this.
If they would have said to him, hey, listen, we're gonna get you here, but we're also gonna probably draft a quarterback at number 8. I'm with you. He probably would have been like, I'll stay in Minnesota. Now,
at that amount, he would have.
No, Kirk's not a diva. Like he won't explicitly be like discontent publicly, but this guy is very particular. All right.
Was
like
Minnesota gonna give him that money?
Minnesota offered him money, just not that much money.
And that's what I'm saying. So it doesn't I think he still would have gone because of the money. Kirk Cousins is the GOAT at the bank in the NFL. He may not be in championships, but when it comes to the bank statements, Kirk Cousins is one of the best to ever do it, baby. You forget that.
Well, let's just keep going here for 1 second. So Penix changed the draft. When Penix was drafted and nobody knew Atlanta was going to do that, it kind of changed things because the next pick, by the way, was his wide receiver from Washington, Ondunze, who went to Washington. And then, Alex, here comes your Vikings. And you said you wanted J.J. McCarthy. You got him. You got J.J. McCarthy at 10.
Mm-hmm.
You happy about that pick?
Yeah. Why would I not be?
No,
I think he was champion. Yeah, he's a really good handoff guy, you know, and the only thing that I know is that when you have Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson, you don't got to be that good. You just kind of got to put it in the vicinity, you know, just put it in the vicinity. They'll go get it. So I love it. And by the way, Sean Payton, shut up. You like this victory lap that he made Minnesota trade up one spot. Like, okay. You really wanted Bo Nix? Wanted Bo Nix, bro? Well, stop.
Well, so that now that again, stop so it. This is where things are becoming interesting in the first round. You've gotten to 10. You've gotten four quarterbacks already drafted, and McCarthy's at 10. And then at 12, here come the Denver Broncos. Now, Bo Nix, listen, he had a really great college career. You know, he had a couple of nice workouts. But Bo Nix was not considered by most NFL scouts to be a top 12 quarterback, top 12 pick. He was definitely going to be the fifth quarterback, but not top 12, number one. And a lot of guys thought he's a second round pick and he's a high end backup. And that was the phrase that was used. Bo Nix now goes to Denver where, okay, Sean Payton, now show everybody the kind of coach you are. You know, Drew Brees, I'm not going to say he was a finished product, but Drew Brees probably had 35 starts under his belt by the time he got to Sean Payton.
He was already nice.
Drew Brees was already, first of all, Drew Brees was a highly, highly decorated college quarterback.
Right.
Was a guy who, again, must have had 30 or 40 starts under his belt by the time he got to New Orleans. And Payton and Brees and New Orleans together rose. Now, Sean Payton, you got a chance because you didn't have a quarterback. You went out and got the kid from Wilson from the Jets, who's a backup player, but he's got plenty of starts under his belt. And now you got Bo Nix. So show everybody what kind of a great offensive, what kind of a great quarterback whisperer you are. And let's see you turn Bo Nix into your starting quarterback.
Sean Payton thinks he's the smartest guy in the room.
Always.
That's Sean Payton's problem.
Always.
Yikes, bro. You out here puffing your chest about getting somebody to trade up what pick, and then you chose Bo Nix? Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here, bro.
Always the smartest guy in the room. All right, hey, let me do this. Let me say that we'll get a little bit more draft talk in because I want to hear what you guys think about your Vikings, your Bears. I want to talk about the Rams, the Chargers, maybe even the Raiders, and then we'll start to transition into the Padres and the mess of this past weekend. Hey, before we do, I just want to say one thing. If you are thinking about buying a house right now or selling a house or you have like some issues but you got equity in the house and you need to take some money out, don't make a move in real estate without first talking to our guy, Gary Cooper. Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299, 858-376-1299. Gary's been with the show for over 20 years, and he has gone through the highs and the lows of the industry. And if there's one guy who can give you great advice, he can help you all along the way, it's Gary Cooper of Mountain Trust Realty Services, 858-376-1299. All right, some final thoughts on the draft. Coming right back, this is Kaplan and Crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studio. Hey guys, quick halftime update here. I would love to talk about Prize Picks for 1 second. And here's why. I mentioned it in the pre-show. I've been getting just destroyed lately. And it's only because like LeBron, boom, no problem. AD, no problem. You take somebody else. I took Aaron Gordon the other day. I mean, 7 points, bro. And by the way, that's why the Nuggets lost. Not just because of him, but just the point totals. If you just look, I mean, the Nuggets starting five versus the Lakers starting five, it's usually only three guys for the Lakers that score. And then there's like all five guys for the Nuggets that score. Aaron Gordon, dude, just killed me. So tonight, here's what I'm doing. I'm taking LeBron James to go more than 26.5 points. I figure LeBron knows this is it. Oh, look, Alex, my thumbs up worked. I figure LeBron knows this is it, man. He gotta make a play tonight, and he's got to score for the Lakers to keep on going. Anthony Davis, 42.5 points, rebounds, and assists. I'm going to play that as well. I'm going to start working Jokic. I'm going to start finding Jokic plays, and I'm going to be all over him because honestly, dude, that guy is just unstoppable, and we all know that. So I'm playing the stars. That's the only thing I'm doing is I'm playing the stars. I'm looking for Jokic's numbers. Okay. 27.5 points. I think he's got that. They've even got a demon with 22.5 points. I think that's not a problem at all. I'm looking for points. Oh, 51.5 points, rebounds, and assists. If he scores 30 and he's got 15 boards and 10 assists, 40, yeah, it's 55. So listen, download the Prize Picks app. Use our code Great Friends. I know I hype on this every day, but the thing is, these guys are our best client. I say our best. These guys are really important to our show. And the deal was to get us through the end of the NBA finals, and I got to get us there, man. So download the app. You're downloading the app, and you're playing Prize Picks with me, Alex, and 3 million other people. That's what keeps the business going. So download the Prize Picks app. Do it for the show. Get in the game, and let's all play together. And by the way, if you've got some good picks like you, Joseph Cabral, hit me up. I'll play your picks. All right. Last thing, use our website, kaplanandcrew.com. This hoodie right here, everybody seems to love it. Everywhere I go, people are like, dude, that's dope. Okay, well, hook yourself up with one. Go to kaplanandcrew.com, hit the merch shop, and get yourself some Kaplan and Crew gear and represent and be a brand ambassador. We appreciate it. All right, back to the second half of the show. All right, great friends. Hey, it is Monday afternoon. This is Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. And as always, we come to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. Okay. Hey, we were talking NFL draft, and we were talking about it sort of from the, you know, looking at the first round, where Michael Penix, you know, the pick to Atlanta at 8, J.J. McCarthy, the pick at 10, Bo Nix, the pick at 12, how these quarterbacks, which were the story of the draft going in, how that really changed and made the draft super exciting. By the way, 700,000 people in Detroit for the draft? Really?
What else they got to do out there?
I know, but bro, can I just say one thing? And I can't help myself, and I'm it's long over, and it doesn't matter anymore, but can I just, I got to at least make the comment. What a shame. Imagine the NFL draft in San Diego. Now, some of you might be driving around right now going, bro, I don't need 700,000 people in San Diego. What I'm saying is think about the impact that the draft had on the city of Detroit, the hotels, the restaurants, the Ubers, the taxis, et cetera. That's the kind of stuff that would have happened here.
It's but a one-off, dude.
It's the stuff that don't happen here when you don't have an NFL
team. Yeah, so one-off. Come July, this place gets packed, Comic-Con.
No, it's true.
You got
that's
a nice
true,
museum in Balboa Park now.
But you hey, listen, you wanted Comic-Con was more important than the NFL. That's all. It's always going to be the case. It's always going to be the case.
Clearly. Yeah. Get them comic books ready, y'all.
All right, let me do this. Let me bring things home here for a second. We were talking NFL draft. Let me bring it home to the Rams, the Chargers. And I know you guys probably want to make some comments, especially since you had the number one overall pick, Browner, and Caleb Williams, and the Bears had a crazy draft. And Alex, I know you got your quarterback. So let me start off with the Rams. Let me say something about the Rams draft. Alex, you can put this up on the screen, all the picks that the Rams had. So the Rams had 11 picks. And the Rams had, in my opinion, a great draft. And here's what I mean by a great draft. Number
one.
They picked
so many people, the font is small. I can barely read it.
Yeah, I know. You got to make it bigger on your screen. Here goes. In the first round, they got this kid, Jared Verse, who's an edge rusher from Florida State. I don't know if you guys know a lot about this young man. I've been following his career for a long time because here's why. Because when my son,
San Diego?
No, when my son went to Albany, this guy was like the star of the Albany team. And my son was calling me, Dad, we've got like a real first round draft choice type player here. I'm like, yeah, right. I'm sure they got a first round draft choice at Albany, Justin. Sure, right. He's like, no, Dad, this guy's a beast. He's a monster. I'm like, okay, if you say so. And the kid, Verse, wound up playing at Albany, which is the Division I AA level. And then he transferred to Florida State. And he played, I think it was 2 seasons at Florida State. And so the Rams got that kid in the first round. And so I've been following his career for a long time. It was great to know that story, which was that Aaron Donald's coach at Pitt, his position coach, left and became the head coach at Albany. So this kid, Verse, has been playing for the guy who really, he kind of like sort of mentored Aaron Donald. So he's got that sort of pedigree, if you will. Second.
So the Rams did exactly what I said don't do. Just try to replace Aaron Donald.
not exactly, but kind of.
Well, in the first, their second round pick was a D tackle,
which is exactly what they should have done. Exactly right. They needed bodies. So if you go back to the screen, Alex, if you put it back up, first they got an edge pass rusher, which was not a replacement for Aaron Donald, but you need defensive help. Second, they got a defensive tackle. There's another kid who was from like Western Michigan, 5 years there, 1 year at Florida State, had a big year at Florida State. So they got two older guys to come in and make immediate impact. Here's the most interesting pick for the Rams. The Rams in the third round got Blake Corum, the running back at Michigan. Let me ask it to you guys before I give you my opinion. Why would the Rams have drafted Blake Corum?
You know why.
I know why, but no one else seems to know why. Like, no national guy is talking about why the Rams would have taken this kid.
Because they C-blocked Harbaugh.
Exactly right. There was
Let
so
the
much,
fun begin.
There was so much talk about how Jim Harbaugh was going to reunite with his running back from Michigan. They love each other. They're BFFs. And he was going to come play for him with the Chargers. When the Rams saw this kid available in the third round and knowing what the Chargers had coming up, they were like, you know what? We're taking this guy. We are absolutely taking this guy because the Chargers didn't take him early in the third round. The Rams took him. If you look at the Rams draft, it's all about defense. They took that kid because he's probably a nice player, a good change of pace kind of
a
player.
Good running back.
Yeah, he's good. And it's good to add to your running back room, especially when you're using a Kyron Williams last year, pretty young dude, right? So I like the pick very much for the Rams, but there's no doubt in my mind, no doubt, the Rams took that kid because everybody assumed he was going to play for the Chargers. I'm telling you right now, it's on between McVay and Harbaugh. It's on between the Chargers and the Rams.
And Harbaugh petty, dog. He ain't going to forget that.
The Rams continued with another edge rusher, which they got a really good safety out of Miami who was highly rated. They got another edge rusher. They got another defensive tackle. So this is already a great draft. You've got two bodies in the defensive line. You've got two bodies that are edge rushers. And then I'm going to tell you guys right now, this is going to be under the radar and you guys are going to give me crap about it, but here it goes. They got the number one kicker in college football. This kid, Josh Carty from Stanford, and they got him in the sixth round. And this guy could be a 10, 12, 15-year player for the Rams. He's that good. So I loved what the Rams did. I thought it was a great draft. I don't know. Do you guys have any?
The Vikings drafted a kicker before they did, though.
Yes, they did. They drafted another. I'm trying to remember where that kid is from.
The Alabama,
Alabama kicker. Yeah. He's also a really good player. I think
we got the best kicker in the draft.
Six of one, half a dozen of another.
We went first, so we got the good one.
Guys, okay, I actually thought this kid from Stanford was the best guy, but Alabama. I mean, this guy had a great career also.
We're talking about kicking.
And I know you're the kicking.
The Bears got the best. The Bears got the best kicker, actually, sir.
Who'd they get?
The kid from Kansas, the punter.
A guy they're never going to use, according to Caleb Williams. So it was a waste of a pick.
Won't be punting much.
Where do they say punter from? Where?
Kansas.
Hey, congratulations to the punter from San Diego State. He got signed by the Buffalo Bills.
Another one.
Careful.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Guys,
and speaking of the Falcons, because we were talking about Michael Penix, there's a kid from that I watched grow up. I coached him in baseball. His name is Ryan Sanborn. Was the punter at Stanford. Was the punter at Texas last year, and he signed with the Atlanta Falcons. So there's your San Diego connection, Browner.
I knew you had one in you.
Yeah, I got.
You
one.
Always do.
So give us your Rams draft grade.
I would give the Rams draft a very, very solid B+. Very solid.
Scott Kiper. That's pretty soft.
No, I think it's a very good B+. I mean, listen, if the kid verse turns into, a real dangerous pass rushing kind of a guy, then it probably elevates to an A. If the kid Fisk is any sort of the kind of player in the NFL, I mean, played in the ACC, Florida State was one of the top, five, six teams in the country. He had a great career. He had a great season. I love the fact that they added more defense down the line, not just on the edge rush, but the defensive tackle and also in the secondary. And listen, at the end of the draft, when you start picking up offensive linemen, you need bodies. So I thought the Rams had a great draft. I really did.
I like Cronin at running back way more than I like Verse. I really do. I think he'll have a better career. I wasn't sold on Verse. Obviously, I was watching a lot of defensive line grades because of the Bears picking at ninth, because I thought that's what they were going to do until they became available. I saw the UCLA kid in person when we watched San Diego State play UCLA. I was not impressed. He did not chip off the screen. Even against San Diego State's offensive line, he seemed very average. So that kid definitely didn't do it for me, and I didn't think Verse was – I felt the same way about Verse. So I don't know why they went that way with the pick, other than I feel like they needed it too after the Donald retirement. But I Steve C for me.
Okay. Okay.
My favorite part about draft grades is that you could just Google your team and search Vikings draft grade. Mm-hmm. You'll find a letter. You'll find every letter by some writer. You just got to find the one that says A and be like, well, this guy gave us an A. So I'm going to go with this guy from CBS Sportsline because he gave us an A. And the guy from the Athletic, he don't know ball because he gave us a D. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, talk to me in 2 years, 3 years.
That's what you just heard.
He don't know no ball. All right. Listen,
we all know Browner don't know anything about quarterbacks, but I don't know if he knows anything about D linemen.
You got any?
No pass rushes. I got my hand in the ground.
Before we talk about the Chargers, you got anything from like McVay and Les Snead? Like, did they have their sort of spin on it? We know Browner's spin on it now. I give the Rams a solid B+.
Okay. Here's McVay.
Feel like we went 10 for 10 and now the work just starts. So, it's all projections, but there was a resume and a body of work that all 10 of these players had, that there was a consensus, there was a consistent and really unanimous good vibes and feel from both his group, from our coaching staff, and ultimately, our organization. And You know, I'm really excited to get these guys. And then there's a bunch of college free agents that will add.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Nothing said.
Man, they got we'll 10 out of 10. Listen, all 10 guys you picked.
They went 14 out of 14 last year.
We don't even know if Les Snead is a good draft person in the first round. So,
right, because he hasn't had
all
one
he says
so long.
Is F them picks, and now he got them picks. So,
yeah,
let's see.
Let's go over to the Chargers for a second. Yeah, let's go to the Chargers. Before I get to the Chargers, hey, one thing real quick before we get to the Chargers. Hey, guys, I want to talk to everybody out there who's playing on Prize Picks. I really do. Here's why. I've been
doing great.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. Here's what I'll tell you about my Prize Picks. I could use your help. I really could, because I'll tell you something right now. I've had so many highs on Prize Picks, and I've experienced a couple of lows on Prize Picks. But I'll tell you tonight, Browner, when it comes to the Lakers tonight, I'm playing LeBron, I'm playing AD, and I'm playing Joker. Because last week, LeBron, check, no problem. AD, check, no problem. And I took Aaron Gordon in game four, because of how spectacular he was in game three. Aaron Gordon scored 7 points for me on Saturday, and he really let me down. So I was 2 out of 3 with LeBron and AD. I'll play LeBron. I'll play AD. I'll play Joker. And that, because those are the best players on the floor. LeBron's going to give you everything he's got because he don't want to go out like this. AD, I still, you know, he's still putting up 30 a game, it seems like. And Joker's just completely unstoppable. So I'm done playing guys that aren't like the A-list superstars. Make sure you download the Prize Picks
app. Brandon Ingram count at a discounted rate? They just discounted, announced Brandon Ingram tonight, 16.5 points, dropped from 21.5.
See, I'll play those discounted rates. I'll play those.
Okay.
I'll play those discounted rates. You know who really got me last week? Luke Littler.
Luke, well, come on.
Three and a half 180s? Dude, he was supposed to have 3.5 180s. He had zero. Zero 180s. I mean, my dart throwing
thing. He was probably playing a bum, you know? Yeah, I got to work on my who is he playing report.
Yeah. Yeah. I never look at his opponent.
You know, if he's playing, you know, a crappy opponent, he don't need to hit the 180s.
You went to the well too many times with Luke.
You're right. But you know what? I'll tell you right now, I'm probably like 7 for 8 with Luke Littler. So I'll just keep going back to him. I really will. I'll play him every Thursday.
All right.
I will. Download the Prize Picks app. Use our code GREATFRIENDS. They'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. I put $100 in at the beginning of the football season. I've never put more money in. Never one time. I've been playing off that money for all that time. And I've got over $2,000 in winnings. I don't have that much cash in my account, but I've been
got over. Sounds really good, though.
It does sound good to say I've got over.
I have over $2,000 of winnings on Prize Picks. Use promo code GREATFRIENDS, and that could be you.
Yeah, it could be you.
Well, you should have said it. That's the way you should have said it.
Yeah, good job, Alex. Could be you. Download the Prize Picks app today. And again, I always say to great friends, hey, guys, we need you, man. We do. We need you guys. They monitor this stuff closely. They're very sophisticated, and they want to see more downloads. They want to see you guys playing, and we want you to play along with us. All right, let me get back to the draft. Let me go to the Chargers. I love what the Chargers did in the draft.
Do you?
I do.
Really?
I do. Yeah, I'll tell you why. I'm a believer that you always start with offensive line. If I'm Jim Harbaugh and I've got this kind of money invested in a quarterback, I've gone out and signed some running backs in the offseason. The number one thing I'm going to do to build my team, not for this year, but for the next 5 years, possibly for the next 10 years, is I'm going to build it with an offensive line. This guy, Joe Alt, he comes from a football family. Father was a player. This guy's the bigger, better version of what his father was. This guy's like a monster. He's like 6'8", 330 pounds or something like that. He's a monster, big this fella. Guy. He is. So I like starting with an offensive lineman. I like a receiver from an SEC team. They got this kid McConkie from Georgia.
That was fascinating.
Tell me.
I think it's just like, you know, the eye test, because he's a white dude.
Mm-hmm.
And like to get taken so high, and I know he was really good at Georgia, and I knew he was always kind of open at Georgia, but it always leads to the question, like when you're on a stacked team, why are you
are
so
you
open?
Because you're good.
Right. Are you open? Open because you're good, or because you're open because there's other dudes like Brock Bowers taking all the people to his side. So
if the guy was not white, would you feel the same, or do you feel like as a white wide receiver, a white DB? Test. Yeah.
What he just said.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Right. It's if this young
like
man
the DB
were,
from Iowa,
Right.
You know, because we're so used to it. And yeah, it sounds a little racist. I'm sorry. It's just what it is. We all think it.
Shout out to Jason Sehorn.
Yeah. By the way, the way they describe the players is different. He's gritty. He's tough.
Right. Fundamentally sound.
Right. Very coachable. You know, they just say it in a non-direct way. I'm just telling you the direct way. Right. We all thought it.
It's like the running back that the Raiders got in like the fifth or sixth round. They get that white guy running back from that small school up in the Northeast somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he's like the most decorated, like D1 and double A kind of running back guy. Yeah. But they're like, but he's white.
Right. You know? And listen, you could be Christian McCaffrey or you could be Toby Gerhart. I don't know.
Yeah.
Gerhart was super stoked out of Stanford and he wasn't very good with the Vikings. So you go
offensive line for the Chargers in the first pick. You go receiver, who's probably like, you ready for this? He comps to Julian Edelman.
Really?
Right, because he's white.
Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman.
Right. Then the Chargers get a linebacker from Michigan, which, you know, you got to assume that's Harbaugh's guy. A defensive tackle.
So he took that guy over his running back, right?
Because he thought his running back would be available later.
Right.
Yeah. He got a defensive tackle from Alabama. Oops. See what I already like about this draft.
Yeah. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, exactly. When you got guys from the SEC, I mean, they take this guy, this running back from Troy, but it's in the sixth round. Mm. They got Jerry Rice's kid in the seventh round, the USC wide receiver. I think that's a really nice pick. I mean, talk about value.
That's crazy to me. And listen, I have more experience with him because I watched every USC game. Like, he was really good.
Yeah, really good.
But he went the sixth round? Like, yeah. Oh, all right. I guess
the seventh round.
Seventh round. To me is like crazy.
And then at the end of the draft, Harbaugh takes a receiver from Michigan, which I'm guessing he's kind of doing a kid a favor. But honestly, I think that you brought in bodies at wide receiver, which you needed. You bring in bodies at defensive line, which you always need, you know, interior defensive linemen. An offensive lineman to help things get started. I like the Chargers draft. I give the Chargers draft a very solid B.
Ooh, not a B plus.
No, I think the Rams draft is a little bit better based on their needs.
But they got weapons, Scott.
Well, right. That's what Harbaugh said.
Yep.
Weapon. Another question is going to come up and you're going to say, like, you know, what about a weapon? What about a offensive lineman? We look at as weapons. That group, when we talk about attacking and we talk about attacking on offense, offensive line is the tip of the spear.
Mm-hmm. Tip of the spear. That's a weapon, baby.
That's it.
That's a weapon right there.
Listen, Charger fans, Justin Herbert will never throw for 5,000 yards ever again as long as Jim Harbaugh is his coach. So everybody get used to it. Okay. Y'all going to run the ball. Justin Herbert going to look like JJ McCarthy up in SoFi. Little handoff here. He got four running backs for a reason. He signed every debilitated like running back that he possibly could from Baltimore, and now they're over here and they're going to run the ball. So get used to it.
All right, do me a favor. Let me have a minute from each of you guys because I want to keep going. I want to get to some Padres. I want to get to some NBA tonight. Alex, the Vikings. Yeah. Give me what you think of their draft.
For me, the draft stops after Thursday, because after that, I don't know, but I'll tell you this. You give me a quarterback that's probably not going to start. I'm probably assuming Sam Darnold will probably be better to start. I'm assuming. I could be wrong. But to me, the steal of the draft, trading back up to get the SEC Defensive Player of the Year from Alabama and Dallas Turner. When you lose Danielle Hunter to the Texans, they gave him a ton of money. I love that pick. You got me the SEC Defensive Player of the Year in the 17th pick. That's the biggest steal of the first round, in my opinion. Like, that Texas guy was going to go, but he was only the Big 12 defensive lineman of the year. That dude wasn't even good enough to be the Big 12 defensive player of the year. So to me, Scott, A-plus first round. After that, I don't know, and we'll see.
Okay. Browner, you also had a chance to watch your Bears take a couple of guys in the first round. What'd you think about the Bears draft?
I thought the Bears had a generational moment Thursday night. I really do. Regardless of what I think of Caleb Williams, I think they got the best guy. Whether the organization is set up for him with Shane Waldron to be the best possible, you know, version of him he can be, who knows? I like Odunze. I like Roma Odunze a lot. Go ahead. Yes?
I don't know why we're asking Browner about the Bears.
Oh, that's right. He's a Steelers fan.
He's a Steelers fan.
He's Are you
50%
back?
Steelers and only 25% Bear. So ask him about the Steelers. Ask him about the linemen they took.
First of all, let me be very clear. Like I said, I'm 25%, but I've been doing it for 40 years.
But you're more Steeler now, so.
I'm more Justin Fields, okay? I'm more Justin Fields Steeler fan.
So you're going to be rooting for Justin Fields on the bench in Pittsburgh versus rooting for Caleb Williams on the field for Chicago?
The ticket is not completely punched until he starts under center.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why that's hard to understand. Like, if LeBron don't get in, nobody's watching the Lakers.
I just know this. You're going to become a huge Caleb Williams fan. That's all I know.
We'll see. I don't know.
Representation matters, bro.
That bust.
Listen.
Come on.
Come on, man. Representation matters, dude.
Listen, bro.
How could you not be supporting this young brother right here?
He was lit on Thursday night, though. He was ready. He was excited.
All right, stick around, everybody. This is Kaplan and crew. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. Coming up, get to the Padres. Also got to get into the Lakers. Stick around. This is Kaplan and crew. Everybody, hey, it's Kaplan and crew with Grande and the Brown Man. Show's on fire today on Monday, as I expected it would be, with so much going on over the weekend. And we've gotten through a lot of the NFL draft. I know you guys hit me up on Friday. How could you not be on the air on Friday? It's the day after the first round. Some stuff went down, you know, and like I always tell you guys, we got three people. You know, there's three of us to host, produce, edit, distribute, market. It's, we got three people. So we had to take the day off on Friday, giving you a lot of post-draft analysis. And I'm glad you guys were all here for that. Hey, as we get ready to go here into this segment, we are in the 7 Mile Casino Studios. And as always, their website is 7milecasino.com. I want to talk about the Padres first. So, gentlemen, let me say this. I don't have a lot of good things to say about the Padres right now. I really don't. I'll say it like this. When they beat the Dodgers 2 out of 3 in Dodger Stadium, and then they beat the Brewers 2 out of 3, and they were a game behind the Dodgers in the standings, and they were in second place, only one game back. I was like starting to get a little excited, you know, like, hey, this is going to be, this team is displaying the sort of heart and fight and camaraderie, et cetera, that last year's team just didn't have.
Hmm.
And then we got into this conversation about, you know, when do you give AJ Preller his flowers for a Jackson Merrill, a Dylan Cease, et cetera, et cetera. And ever since that conversation, I think they've lost like 5 or 6 games in a row. So here's what I will say that's really good. 1-5. Here, I'll say some good things about the Padres. Okay, here's some good things. Yesterday was my first game at the ballpark this year. I love that new agave suite area up in left field. Awesome.
Fish tacos. Really nice about the Padres. The stadium's nice.
Fish tacos were really good. The meatballs were really good.
Was it 2011 again?
The carne asada nachos were really good.
The building total.
Right? Yeah. It was really good. It was really good.
The padded seats, nice.
Very comfy. Nice. Okay. Yeah,
Gallagher Square, beautiful.
Okay, by the way,
good line of sight.
Let me tell you something. Gallagher Square, first time I've been down there since they revamped it.
Yeah.
The wiffle ball field with the monitor out in left field,
crazy.
Awesome. The bridge that they've built and where they've put the Tony Gwynn statue and how they've turned that into a venue. Incredible. I mean, so I've got nothing but great things to say about the crowd, the weather, the ballpark, the food. Okay. Yeah. All those are good things. Let me tell you what's not so good. Being swept at home by the Phillies, who are a very good team. They're, you know, they have to compete against Atlanta and they've got to compete against the Mets, and the Phillies are good. And they came into San Diego and they smacked the Padres pitching staff around, especially the starting pitching. So I got good things to say about the crowd, the weather, the ballpark, the food, Gallagher Square. I got nothing good to say about the baseball that I saw over the course of the weekend.
I think with the Padres, it's really simple. It's very simple. They're everything that we wanted them to be last year, except the roster's just not that good. Like, they're likable. They show heart. They fight. They sometimes come back. At the end of the day, though, not very good.
I mean, that's too bad. It's too bad. I mean, Manny Machado came back.
Manny Machado stinks. Sandro Bogart stinks. Tatis needs to be better. It's that simple. Like, it's that simple. Those three dudes, if they're not good, this team will not be good. It's that simple, man. And if your top three starters are A, hurt, or B, suck, you're not going to be good. It's really not hard. It's really not hard. Xander Bogaerts about to hit below the Trent Grisham line. Tatis needs to be excellent. He can't just be good. He needs to be excellent. He needs to be Mookie Betts level right now. He's not. Manny Machado needs to be MVP level. He's not. And that's okay. That's just not what they're playing. But it's not hard to figure out why the Padres aren't good. Musgrove stinks. Michael Keim can't stop giving up home runs. Yu Darvish always hurt all of a sudden. Of course you're not going to be good. It's really not difficult. Jurickson Profar proving me wrong. Okay, great. Jackson Merrill, actually not that good the last week, but before then he was actually really good. So like the thing is though, like they can't be your best players. They can't be your best players if you want to be a good team. Tatis needs to be your best player. Machado needs to be your second best player. Bogaerts needs to be your third best player. And if they're not, you're not going to be good. And right now through 30 games, they're not good. Is it hard to understand that? Just to say right now why they're not good, that's why they're not good.
Boy, that's an epic rant. It's an epic rant. And I want to tell you something right now. I had to lay out. And now I'm going to just say this. That epic rant was brought to you by Mushroom Life, okay? Life Brew Coffee. And right now, my man Brett Weiss is giving everybody a 30% discount on their first purchase of Life Brew Coffee. I didn't even know that there was mushroom coffee, but there is. It's really good for focus. I use it every day. I put one scoop in my regular coffee. Just gets me completely focused. It's also really good for, you know, in terms of your body, in terms of like stamina and restorative balance to your body. The Life Brew Coffee, man, people are raving about it. So check them out, Life, L-Y-F-E, lifebrew.com, and you're going to save 30% on your first purchase. Browner, is he wrong?
Shout out to my dog, Brett Weiss, for the Irish goodbye on Saturday night.
Wait, did he even make it to the Kraken?
Yeah, I talked to him over there. He told me he was coming over there to see what was up with you across the street, and then I didn't see him again.
Oh, you know what? He came across the street because me and Rachel and my friends Russell and Alice and then Fat Tony, the five of us, grabbed a drink at Pacific Coast Grill across the street. Shout out to my boys, Steve and Phil and Joel and the whole Mishbucha over there at PCG. But we started with a cocktail across the street. Brett came walking in, looking sharp, looking money, said he had a really bad headache, said he'd been going at it since early in the morning, and said he was leaving. So he left.
Yeah, I talked to him for a minute. We shared a hug, and then he told me he was going across the street to see you, and then I didn't see him again. So I hope he's all right. Hope he's doing better with that headache.
Yeah.
Let me just, you know, I'm not gonna fill this segment with another rant.
By the way, excuse me, real quick. I just want to tell you one thing. One thing about Brett Weiss, he asked me this question: how many people click on your QR code on the show? And I said, I don't know. I gotta ask Browner. I don't actually know. I don't follow the data on the QR code. So let me just do this for the goof of it all. You ready? Alex, put the QR code up on the screen for 1 second for those of you that are watching on YouTube and TV. Everybody watching right now, for the goof, if not for the purchase, use your phone, hit the QR code so that tomorrow I can tell Brett a lot of people are hitting the QR code, bro. A lot. All right, just leave it there for a second. Go ahead, Brown. What are you going to say?
Well, I was looking for that.
I don't want to talk about the data until I analyze it.
Okay. So what I'm saying, okay, is this. I'm giving him flowers, and I'm going to keep giving him flowers because his job is to make the moves in the offseason to prepare you for the season. His a decision to bring up Jackson Merrill, full-on success, even though your hot, cold, love-hate relationship with him is very weird, I will admit, but okay, do your thing. I'm not judging you.
All I said, he wasn't good the last week. That's all I said.
Like I said, I'm not judging you, bro. I'm not judging you. It's all you fair weather on the man. It's cool. It's all
you're
right.
Fair weather. You're fair. You have to kiss his ass even when he's not doing well.
See, who said
you don't
that?
Like,
who's that?
If you don't like me, exactly. The worst. You don't deserve me at my best.
Here we go. Whoa. Okay. Look. If we are going to give me pushback for giving him flowers in April, the overreaction of negativity right now in April fits the same description. I'm sorry, fellas. I got to tell you, the wind's blowing both ways today. The thing I will say about what I witnessed this weekend for the San Diego Padres, and it was funny to who they were playing. The Philadelphia 76ers play like their leader. They play like Bryce Harper.
Wait a second. The 76ers play like they're a leader.
The Philadelphia Phillies. I said 76ers?
You did.
Yeah.
My bad. My bad. Whoa.
I thought you were going to talk about Joel Embiid. I thought you were about to make this really interesting comparison.
They suck in the fourth. So Embiid is... anyways.
They play like their leader, Bryce Harper. The Philadelphia Phillies play similar to a Bryce Harper plays. Hard, all out, and they hit bombs. And it's awesome to watch because you can see it. The San Diego Padres don't really play like one or the other versions of the guys that are leading this team. So to me, something that came evident to me last night watching the Timberwolves and the Suns, the Timberwolves have adopted Anthony Edwards' personality. Who on the San Diego Padres will have their personality adopted by this roster?
There's only one guy whose personality can be adopted. Well, actually, I'll give it two. If you're going to make a comparison to Anthony Edwards of the Minnesota Timberwolves, who's 22 years old, flies over people, makes spectacular blocks, scores 40 points, and has the entire team saying it's his team. He's only 22, but it's his team. Mm-hmm. There's only two guys on the Padres that can happen for. Okay. It's Tatis because he's young and he's hip and he's cool and he's got hair, he's got cool shoes, and he's been the star of the team in the past. It's Tatis, or it's Machado because he's been around and he's been in for a long time and he put the whole team on his back when Tatis wasn't here. It can only be one of those two guys. That's it.
I won't disagree with you. I'm not even going to fight that, but it's got to be one of them. And right now, I really feel like it's neither, because they don't play with Tatis's flair and energy and fight, or they don't play with Machado's grizzled resolve and leadership. They don't do either. They don't do either. So that's the thing that I took away from this weekend on the field. What I saw on the field, apparently everybody can hit home runs at Petco, except for the team that plays the most in Petco.
Well,
this isn't
a
new problem.
No, you know who Bryson Stott is? You know who Bryson Stott is?
He can go.
Bryson Stott is a guy who hits eighth in the Phillies lineup.
Is
and
he
he's
from
a
Carlsbad?
No, he's not. But no, he's a weak hitting second baseman. He hit two home runs yesterday. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, Tatis hit some nice balls to the warning track.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's
can
you, all
can
I'm
I
saying.
Ask you a question, Browner? Let me just say, said it in the middle of my rant. It's April. I'm not telling you they're going to suck.
One of your better rants, by the way. Good rant. I'm not telling you that they're going to suck. He's been doing it a lot lately.
I'm telling you why they suck right now. Would you agree that if Jerickson Profar and Jackson Merrill are your best players on the team, that's not a good sign for your team?
Well, if Jackson Merrill's your best player, I'm okay with that. Jerickson Profar, not so much. Dude.
If Jackson Merrill's your best player on this team with three guys making the money they make, that's a good thing.
Right. No.
If Jackson Merrill continues to hit the way that he's been hitting, then he ends up batting 300, 310, 315.
Will not happen.
I mean, he's already.
I mean, dude, look what he's
doing. I'm addressing the question. You asked me a question.
I can't help but comment along the way. I can't help it.
I know. Because
I'm going to go on mute.
Listen, y'all. Hear me. Not these other two people on the show who apparently don't like the makeup of the team. Listen to the guy who likes the makeup of the team. I actually think Jackson Merrill is a high-level baseball player. And I think he might be – you're talking – if you guys are watching on YouTube, you can still see him talking.
Right. I'm going to comment along the way, but I'm just going to put my mic on mute so that I don't interrupt your rant.
It's not a rant. I'm just talking. I honestly believe if this – and he's cursing. I can see him cursing. I honestly believe that Jackson Merrill is a high-level baseball player and can bat 300 to 315. So if he is – if he turns out to be that, then he will be their best hitter, and that's a good thing.
Yeah. I respectfully disagree with you.
Which is okay.
If a guy that just turned 21 who hasn't had a legal beer, more than a week in his life, if he's better than Tatis, Machado, and Bogarts, that's a problem.
Juan Soto was the best player on a Nationals championship team at 20.
Was he the best player?
Who was better?
Or did you just say something?
Look at it. Look it up.
No, you look it up. You keep.
No, I don't need to.
Was Juan Soto the best player on that team? Was he?
Yes. Yes, because Bryce Harper was gone. Anthony Rendon was on that team. Juan Soto was on that team. Juan Soto was the best player. He got correct. He's still getting paid because of that team.
I'll just say this really quickly.
Oh, you're back. Okay.
Yeah, I'm back now. I had a lot of commentary.
You're done cursing?
I'll just say this to you guys real quick because I really want to get to some NBA. Let me tell you, I agree with Alex, and here's where I agree. If you have Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis, Xander Bogaerts, and Jake Cronenworth, and between those four guys, if your best hitter is a 21-year-old rookie making his major league debut, guess what? That's a problem.
And here's my biggest problem, Browner. Here's my biggest problem. Like, the thing is, like, Jackson Merrill, let's say he's the best hitter, right? Correct. His numbers are still not that impressive. That's kind of the problem. Like, if they were Juan Soto levels where he's hitting 330 with 40 home runs, then sure. But he's not. He's in 295.
It's April.
Home run. No, but what I'm saying is, like,
I hear what you're saying.
Like, that's all I'm saying. Like the fact that Machado is severely underperforming his contract, the fact that Bogaerts is ridiculously underperforming his contract
right now,
and the fact that Tatis is not MVP level right now, where you really do, like, it's kind of like the Lakers and the Nuggets. We always say this, right? The Lakers, they don't have a margin for error. They almost have to play perfect to beat the Nuggets. That's kind of like the Padres. Like, they kind of need to play at their highest level to be competitive. Like, that's why I said this team's going to win 81, 82 games. I genuinely believe that. That's what I think they are. But that doesn't make them a postseason team. And when you got guys, making that much money, mm-hmm. you're not supposed to be an 81 win team.
Right.
You're supposed to easily a postseason team.
But
just really frustrating. And I hate to bring it up, but, like, it is really frustrating too, because, like, you're looking at guys making that money in LA, mm-hmm. and they're performing like it.
But the thing is that Tatis, Machado, Bogaerts, those three guys, you expect offensive numbers. On the other side, Darvish, Musgrove, and, you know, not so much Dylan Cease because of the money, but Michael King because of the trade. I mean, those are frontline pitchers. Darvish is hurt. Musgrove has not returned to form. King just gives up bombs. So I feel like the point is being made that in April so far, your big money hitters. Yeah. Hey, listen, Tatis makes a spectacular play in right field. Awesome. Tatis is a 244 hitter with 6 home runs. Manny's hitting 252 with 4 home runs. And Bogaerts is hitting 213 with 2 home runs. Those are your big three. And it's just not all that impressive. All right. With that being said, by the way, Alex, you said, you know, you talk about the Lakers and how there's no margin for error. So I got to give the Lakers credit for this.
For what?
Well, I'm going to give the Lakers credit for Saturday, because here's why. My thought was that, hey, look, you know what, guys? We're going to lose the series. We don't really have a chance to win 4 straight games. Why give it everything we got, win the game, get on a plane, fly back to Denver, lose, and have to turn around and come home? Like, I honestly expected after the game on Thursday, the game on Thursday where D'Angelo Russell was 0 for the field. And not only was he 0 for 7 from the field, but LeBron was yelling and screaming at him. I was at the game on Thursday night. And later in the game, 3 minutes to go, Lakers have no chance to come back, but he's sitting on the end of the bench by himself. Everybody else is in the huddle. I actually thought, you know what, something has gone wrong here and they might even bench him. But you know what? D'Angelo Russell came back and had a pretty good game on Saturday. LeBron and AD did their thing. They shut down Aaron Gordon, who ate them for lunch on Thursday. Jamal Murray he wasn't great. So the Lakers fought. They showed heart. They were like, hey, you know what? We're not done until we're done. So let's fight. Let's win. And now let's see what happens tonight. Do I think the Nuggets are going to win tonight? I expect them to. But if Jamal Murray can't play, or if Jamal Murray is not effective because of this calf injury, could the Lakers possibly now, after finally breaking through, could the Lakers win this game tonight and bring it home? Maybe. I mean, I hope they do, just for the excitement of it all.
Are you doing that thing,
You just don't want to work. That's why.
Well, it is nice to have days off early, but I'll tell you right now, regardless of whether it's the Lakers or not, we're doing so much play-by-play on the air up in LA that I'm getting off early regardless. So,
if I'm mistaken, no team in the history of the NBA has ever come back
ever
from being down 0-3.
Right.
So we're expecting. Are you just asking about this game or the series?
I'm asking about this game. No, I don't think they can win this.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna say, can they win this game?
This team to do it against that team.
Yeah.
for something that's never been done before, that would be ridiculous. That would be crazy. That would mean Jamal Murray got hurt, Nikola Jokic got hurt. Yeah, like that's what that would mean.
Oh, I don't think they're in the series, but gosh,
I don't even think they're coming back.
Coming back to LA.
What? Yeah.
Well, because they're going to lose this game tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree.
By the way, I'm not trying to make a joke. I literally assumed they lost. I didn't know that they won until yesterday, like 2 p.m.
Hmm. This guy just checked out on the Lakers, man.
I know he's out.
I was at a narco party, dude. I didn't even bother checking the score.
Well, assume they were going to lose.
Basketball now?
No, I just.
Is that more of a soccer sport? That's why you started the weekend, the week talking about that other guy playing soccer because you were at the.
Oh, you don't even want to know what I actually watched this weekend. You know, Scott was watching the draft. Scott was watching basketball. You don't even want to know what I watched yesterday.
I know.
You watched like F1 qualifying or something?
No, even worse.
It gets lower than that.
Yeah, we Americanize the racing, and I watched both IndyCar and NASCAR yesterday.
Oh wow!
Ugh.
Wow!
Oh yeah!
Ugh.
Wow!
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, can we get to a highlight of the day before we?
More speeding tips.
No intro. By the way, we just got a very interesting email.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is supposed to be public.
Yeah.
But welcome back, Ruthie.
Oh no way!
Yeah, just for a bit. Welcome back, Ruthie.
Ruthie's coming back to help out.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so amazing. Oh my God.
Charlie, this is his final week, and Ruthie's coming in. Real quick, we could talk about this more in Uncensored, I'm sure. Lots of movement in NBA, NFL pregame. You got Boomer Esiason, Phil Simms out at CBS. Matt Ryan, J.J. Watt going in full time, and then this was just reported: Jason Kelce is taking the place of Robert Griffin III in the Monday Night Countdown for ESPN Monday Night Football.
Really? I like Robert Griffin III. I'm surprised, but Jason Kelce's got a real high profile right now.
Also, Travis Kelce signs 2-year extension. He's now the highest paid tight end in the league.
Okay, you know what?
Boomer Esiason is also out at CBS.
That's what I just said.
Right. That's what he's. Yeah. I want to talk more about that. I actually want to talk more about the shakeup of TV. I know I was too. I want to talk more about that shakeup. All right, listen. For those of you listening on radio, we got a lot more to get to, plenty more to get to. For those of you there with us on podcast, let's go get Uncensored right now. All right, everybody. Hey, we're going to get Uncensored all up in this bitch. I didn't do this on the show today. I saved it for Uncensored only because we had so much sports to talk about. You know, that one guy who always bitches at us that we don't talk enough sports on Instagram, whatever that guy's name is.
Shout out to him.
Shout out to you, dog. Today was your day. Today was
your kind of show.
It was wall to wall, man. Wall to wall. Browner, Saturday night, cranking.
Mm-hmm.
Great time.
It was cranking. Get it?
See what I did do. There?
Yeah.
Great time. First of all, my boy Danny from the band 91 Octane, bro, you killed it. And I gotta give you Danny's last name because this guy killed it. The band was amazing. The band changes everything. You know, Danny's last name is Castillo. Danny Castillo. He freaking rocks it. The lead singer is amazing. The lead guitar player is incredible. Drummer keeps it all together. Man, these guys just kill it. The band makes the whole night. And Browner, it was so great to have you and so many great friends, many of whom I met, and I feel like many of whom I did not meet that night. There were a lot of people there that I could vibe and feel that they got there because they'd heard us talking about it, but either didn't want to come up and talk, or we were all out in the back by the pool tables hanging out. It was an awesome night, though, man. I hope you had a good time, bro.
I did, man. I feel what you say about people just not being comfortable coming up to speak in that space, because there were a lot of people who came back in that space and gave me like a weird like look, like they wanted to come and say something, but then someone else would start talking to me, and then, you know, they would just kind of linger around and then head back in when the band starts.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate everybody who came out to, you know, say what's up and give out the hugs, and it was a really nice time to be out and about and just absorbing the love from people, and so it was much appreciated. A lot of pictures taken and a fun time had.
It was a good time. It was a really good time. Alex, I know you were busy up in Oxnard, and that's the only time you really go north of the 8. But if you look at some of these pictures from Saturday night, thankfully not.
Yeah, who was the photographer? Was it Rachel?
I don't know. Let's take a look.
How many? Because I think they were more tipsy than you were, man.
This was Tommy. This was Tommy's camera, bro. This was Tommy's camera, bro.
You're probably okay. This picture right here. You're right. This probably was Tommy, I think. So you got Miss Molly over here, who looked so beautiful, and she was so nicely dressed. The guy in the middle, that's David 100 milligrams. He's actually from the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust up in L.A. This guy, Alex, you'll get a kick out of this guy. This guy was a former LAPD officer, and he got injured on the job in a high-speed chase, and he sent me the chase so I could watch the whole thing.
Oh, send it to me.
I will. You got Big Brown in the back. And then you see the guy next to Browner, in between me and Browner in the back.
Oh, TV guy.
That's the guy who watches the show on TV.
You're going to hate this picture.
Yeah, you're not going to love this picture.
None of you guys are going to like any of these pictures. They're all terrible.
I know. All right, keep going.
Let me see what I was talking about. Yeah.
Same. Yeah, he's not going to like that one either because he's all cut off there.
You know, there he is.
Look at this. <It's> terrible. Actually, that's a good picture of me, though. I got to be honest. If you go back, that's a pretty nice picture of me.
That's the best one so far.
That's what matters, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that one. Yeah. That's David 100 and his wife Tina, me and Miss Molly right there together in the back of the crane. And Miss Molly,
he was feeling it.
I was, dude, don't understand. Here's why I had one cocktail across the street. There's Rachel on the right in the white jacket, our friend Alice and our friend Russell right there. More of David 100. Oh, look at Tommy and his best friend right there,
buddy. My man is 70.
Tommy's 70.
Let me fucking tell y'all something about my dog, Tommy. Okay. I normally would give Tommy a hard time because I'm thinking Tommy's age is nowhere near what it actually turned out to be.
Right. I thought he was like 50.
Listen, man, Tommy, I fucks with you. Now I know you 70, bro. I ain't got no smoke with you at all whatsoever. You can open for me whenever you need, bro. Hey, at 70, bro, the way you out here moving and grooving, I fucks with you.
He showed 100%. You his ID, you said?
Yeah.
Yes. Show me his driver's license. The man is 69 years old. His birthday going to be next month.
It was so funny because we all had a competition. Now that me and Browner knew that he was 70, we literally asked everybody to take a guess of Tommy's age. Mm-hmm. Nobody guessed 70, except Dado's girlfriend said 71 because she thought he was born in 1971.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
70.
Seven.
I still don't believe that either.
I know, dude. It's crazy.
This guy probably printed his own ID.
Hey, you see in that picture, though, there's one David P. You see David P? That guy's freaking hilarious, man. Me and him had a lot of laughs together in this. I got to be honest. I wasn't sure who, sometimes, you know, you're not knowing everybody's name. Dude, he's hilarious. Oh, wait. And there's Mark Kapoff in between Browner and Tommy. Oh, dude, Cap 2. He's great. And there's Fat Tony. Fucking love these guys, man.
That was a birthday party next to us that was dressed in like 70s outfits. Impressive.
Hey, Alex, you say I was feeling it. So I had a vodka cocktail at the bar across the street, PCG. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have fun tonight. And the best way to have fun at the Kraken is to put down some drinks.
Slapped.
So I walk in. I tell my bartender, I go, I need a shot of Don Julio Reposado.
Mm-hmm.
And I need a cold Coors Light.
Because you did come in with
oh, that's
shot. Like, where you get the shot from, bro?
Yeah, I got the shot from the front bar. And, yeah.
Don't be down in Coors Light, bro.
No, don't be down in Coors
Light. The combo. I'm going to talk shit about that combo 100%.
Why?
Get a fucking Mexican beer.
Okay, well, so I got a I got a Pacifico.
Drink whatever you want, but that doesn't.
I had a Pacifico and a Modelo. I had all of it. So I had the shot and then I had the beer and now I'm starting to feel good. And all in all, I didn't like drink like stupid, like where I was drunk, wasted, passed out, puking. I had a good time. Like even the next morning I woke up, Rachel's like, yo, you got any like ibuprofen? I'm like, yeah. She's like, don't you need any? I'm like, I'm fine. I felt great.
Wait, so I need to get some shit cleared up right now. What, according to the officer over here, what beer is good with what shot combo, officer?
No, I'm saying if you're going to do tequila, you should do Mexican beer. If you're going to order at the same time, that's just what I would do.
I didn't know that was a thing. So if I get a shot of Jack, I could only get like a Budweiser? Is there a country rule?
It's just tequila specifically. Like tequila is Mexican. You got a little Mexican beer in you.
So if I get a Guinness, what kind of shot do I have to get with a Guinness?
Yeah, like Jameson.
Oh, man, look at this. This is a whole rule book.
Yeah, it's like peanut butter and jelly, you know? You don't go fucking peanut butter and cheese whiz.
I don't.
This doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
I'm just so literal. I don't. Sometimes.
Anyway, listen, it was a great time. I'm so glad everybody came out.
Did you unplug your computer yet?
I did. I turned it off. I unplugged it.
Yeah.
I also somehow, when I upgraded my new computer, it took all my information from my laptop and put it on my desktop of my new computer, which I didn't mean it for it to do. All because, and I'll talk to you guys about this.
Dog?
Dude, I'll talk to you guys all about this tomorrow. You won't even believe this, dude. Dude, I got a new phone this weekend. Ooh, an iPhone 15. And dude, transferring from my iPhone 11 to my iPhone 15, which is probably not that hard of a thing for most normal people. Oh, don't you know that for me, I'm on the phone with fucking Apple Care, Apple fucking support, you name it. I'm on the phone with them because I just what a mess.
Was Alex support not available?
You ordered a phone online and trusted yourself to do the transfer?
I was going to go to the Verizon store and have it done there.
What you should have done.
But I did it myself. And actually, believe it or not, after I did it. Yeah.
How many people you had to call?
I called one person. I was on the phone for a couple hours with the person from Apple.
A couple hours? Yeah. A couple hours.
That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
God damn.
Store guy could have had you right in 15
minutes. When I got this new phone, I removed an old iCloud account. Mm-hmm. From the old BCA days, I was like, I need this.
That's where my problems came in.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a problem. I just lost numbers, but I didn't care. So I was like, whatever numbers I lost, I'll find them eventually. So I got like random numbers in my phone. I don't know what they are.
Nice. Call them all.
All right, listen. We got to roll. We're back tomorrow. Much love to everybody. Peace out.